Let me add my welcome to each one of you for this online service. Even though we can't be together in a worship experience like we so love and we're so used to, I'm grateful that somehow God can take all the pre-recorded pieces of this service online, put them together into an experience that we trust will encourage you and edify your heart. And even though I'm speaking right now into a darkened, empty auditorium, we thank God for His presence that can come to you right in your house, right in your room right now. May God just give you grace as we come to His Word. We're picking up this morning our series out of the book of Nehemiah. It's called Overcoming, this series, because Nehemiah is a story of a man by the name of Nehemiah who took on the task of rebuilding the broken walls around Jerusalem. This would secure the city from her enemies and would give Jerusalem a foothold that would end up lasting for centuries. Nehemiah, however, had everything in the book thrown against him. Every kind of discouragement, accusation, every kind of intimidation, because there were entrenched interests that did not want Jerusalem to reestablish its strength. But Nehemiah overcame step by step. But when we get to chapter 6, there's another obstacle thrown in Nehemiah's way just before they finish the walls. And that's something that every person I know struggles with, including myself. I'll put myself at the front of the line on this one. And that's the struggle with distractions. When we know there's important things to do, but we get it distracted. In one of the film versions of the Robin Hood legend, there's a scene in which a young man is practicing his archery and shooting at a target. And Robin Hood comes up and says to this young man, "Now, do you think you could hit the target if I was to distract you while you shot?" And of course, the young man, cocky, thought, "Yeah, I can do that." So he pulls his bow back. He's about to let go of the arrow. And Robin Hood pokes him in the ear with a feather from another arrow. And sure enough, that arrow goes way above the target. He misses it by a mile. Everybody standing around just starts laughing. It was a great old moment. Until Maid Marian looks at Robin Hood and said, "What about you? Can you do that?" And so Robin Hood, of course, he's not going to step back now. So he gets up, pulls back his bow, is about to let go of the arrow, and Maid Marian steps over and rather flirtatiously blows on his cheek. Sure enough, even Robin Hood missed the target by a mile. It hit a tree, ricocheted off the tree, and almost hit a bystander. Because I suppose there's some distractions that almost nobody can ignore. But distractions become incredibly tools against our potential. We believe there's a demonic realm. We believe that there's an enemy, that when we come to Jesus, He's wanting to get us to step back. And beyond discouragement, which I think is the tool He uses the most, I think His other big tool is to throw distractions in our way. Now, years ago, the German statesman and writer Johann von Goethe said, "The things which matter most must never be at the mercy of the things which matter least." And I want to tell you, that statement, although it's not a Bible verse, it's very biblical. And that statement haunts me. To think of the things that matter most in my life sometimes being pushed out by all those things that matter the least. Sometimes the things that matter least are the most urgent things. They feel most urgent. But the great tragedy of life is the most urgent things are often not the most important things. And von Goethe said, "The things which matter most must never be at the mercy of those things which matter least." This is where Nehemiah is going to get tempted now. Verse 1 of chapter 6. "When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not yet set the doors in the gates. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, 'Come and meet us together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono.'" So the task of rebuilding the walls is almost done, but there's still vulnerability in that city, because the gates, the doors, haven't been put in the gate structures yet. So the job isn't quite done. And in desperation, the enemies decide to throw a distraction at Nehemiah. They said, we want you to come and visit us in the Plain of Ono. Plain of Ono, O-N-O, was about 27 miles northwest of Jerusalem. So this would have been a full day's journey. It was sort of in that neutral zone between Judah and Samaria to the north. And they wanted to come, and they wanted to say, we want to talk to you out here. But Nehemiah knew that they were going to harm him, that this would be a deadly distraction. And as a result, he said to the invitation to go to Ono, he said, oh no, you saw that coming. But this is the beauty, this is the brilliance of Nehemiah in this moment. He's almost done what God had given him to do. And then the distractions start coming after him, left and right. This would have cost him days. This would have cost him energy. This would have taken him off his most important task. That's what distractions do to us. And to the invitation to the Plain of Ono, thank God Nehemiah said, oh no, I'm not going there. And why could he do that? Because first of all, Nehemiah decided what was important. If you haven't decided that some things are more important than other things in your life, then you're not going to be able to filter out the distractions. It starts with deciding what's important. Because this is Nehemiah's way of saying, oh no, I'm not going there, to his enemies. It's in verse 3. He said to his enemies, I am carrying out a great project and cannot go down. Why, in fact, should I stop work and leave it to go down to you? In the face of the distractions, he said to the distractions, why should I leave a great work to go pay attention to you? And that means you have to decide what's important up front in your life. Have you done that? Could you look back at this past week? Although our culture has thrown in our world, and a virus has thrown an incredible distraction at us this past week. But on an average week, can you look over the weeks and the months that you're living right now in your life, in the big picture, and can you honestly say, I've been engaged in a great work. I'm building a great marriage. I'm trying to be a great student in middle school and influence my friends for Christ. I'm doing a great work with my money as I'm helping us send people to spread the gospel to the 7,000 unreached people groups in our world who have yet to hear anything. Can we honestly say with our lives, I've decided what is most important, and I am staying focused on a great work. I'm doing a great work, Nehemiah said. And why should I pay attention to visiting you and leave such an important work? And I want to invite you, as this virus has probably for most of us slowed us down, I want to invite you to use this time to really listen to the Lord about what's most important in your life. I want to do this myself in these weeks of slowing down the pace a little bit, although the pace hasn't slowed down for me quite yet, but I just want to listen to the Holy Spirit for what's important. One of my prayer partners just this morning forwarded up a social media post that was written as if it was from God to each one of us. And it simply said, no movies, no concerts, no sporting events, no restaurants, no social gatherings, limited workload. Now that I've cleared your schedule, can we have a talk? Sign God. Well, God's clearing some of our schedules and he wants to have a talk with us. I'd encourage you to do this, especially if felt that we need to be writing things down in this season. We need to be blocking out maybe an hour at a time and just reading some scripture, putting on some worship music, listening to the Holy Spirit, and then writing things down that God's speaking to us. Because I think that God wants to speak to us about great work in our lives, about things that are more important, that need to be more important than anything else in our lives. He needs to help us reassess what are distractions and what's truly important in our lives. And you may want to use three simple grids for doing this. First of all, ask yourself, what about my relationships, my closest relationships? I mean, that would be your family. That would be your friendship circle. That would be your working associates when you're allowed to go back to work if you're sequestered from that right now. What about my closest relationships? I guarantee you, in your most important work in life, it's going to be serving your closest relationships. And then after you look at your closest relationships, look at your top goals. What are my top goals in life? Now, a goal is a target with a timetable associated with it. We all need a target. Robin Hood even though he got distracted, he still needed something to shoot at. At least he had a target. God wants us to have targets. Targets that have time frames associated with it. Like a year from now, I want to take a missions trip. Like a year and a half from now, I want to be out of debt. Like in the next 6 months, I want to do this with the team I supervise at work to help us be more productive and to help the team members feel more fulfilled. I mean, I don't know what it might be, but there are things that God has called us to do. They are targets with time frames put on them. And as we listen to the Holy Spirit about what He'd want to say to us about our closest relationships, let's also listen to the Holy Spirit about the goals in life. And I'm not talking about bucket list things. You know, I really don't have a bucket list. If I have one, it's pretty short. Like, you know, I've never actually visited the Grand Canyon. Someday I'd like to visit the Grand Canyon. But that's not one of my big goals. One of my big goals is to fulfill God's call in my life, to be a part of taking the gospel around the world, to be a great team leader, to be a great husband to my wife, I mean, to be a friend to my prayer partner. I mean, these are goals that they're not just bucket list things. These are the things that make life work. These are the things that live out God's purpose in our lives. These are the kind of things that come down to what Nehemiah talked about. I'm doing a great work. Our goals, our top goals are define that great work that we're going, that we don't want to leave. And they do line up with God's calling on our lives. Whether we're school teachers, whether we're medical doctors, whether we're business owners, whether we're pastors, whether we're stay-at-home parents, I mean, no matter what it is, whatever God's call is on your life, your big goals have to align with that. So we ask ourselves, what are my closest relationships? We ask ourselves, what are my top goals? And a third question that may surprise you, but what are my worst disappointments? I just think that it's essential for us not just to stuff our disappointments and our failures. That's not healthy emotionally. It's not healthy spiritually. But I think we're to learn from our disappointments. And the problem with our disappointments, if we don't process them properly, is that they'll make cowards out of us. Our disappointments will lie to us. They'll say, so you never want to take a risk again. So you never want to trust anybody again. And unless you process your disappointments, your past disappointments are going to start making your future decisions for you. And talk about a huge distraction to your potential. You don't want that happening in your life. So as you sit down, as you spend extra time with the Lord in these weeks, with something to write with, I just want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit about your closest relationships, about your top goals, and about your deepest disappointments. And then, once we are able to move into our future after this virus, I want you to do what Nehemiah did next. He stayed focused. He just stayed focused. Because in the next verse, verse 4, in verse 3, he said, why should I leave this great project that I'm working on to go visit you in the plain of Ono? In the next verse, it says, 4 times they sent me the same message to come and visit them in the plain of Ono. I mean, not once, not twice, not 3 times. I mean, distractions are just relentless. They don't give up. They're just always there, that sense of urgency to do things that often aren't the most important things in our lives. 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Oh no, I'm not going to give in to you. This is staying focused. As we're many of us at home all day now in our lives for at least a few more days and possibly a few more weeks, I just want to encourage you to put focus even into a day at home so that you can stay focused even while you are at home on the more important things. It's easy around home just to be distracted by everything. It's easy just to turn on the TV. It's easy just notice that closet that needs cleaning. And I mean, you can get distracted easily. So let me encourage you, just put together a plan. This is partly how we stay focused in life, in any area of life. Put together a plan. Like for a given day, a plan to get outside a little bit, which we're still allowed to do. A plan to get some exercise. A plan to do some reading. A plan to spend time with the Lord. You know, a plan to clean that closet if you've got some accumulated projects that you haven't been able to get to yet. I mean, lay out a plan, and then after you put together a plan, put yourself on a schedule. It just really helps to get some regularity in our life, helps us to cope with being cooped up all the time. Put yourself on a schedule. I mean, if usually you take a shower in the morning, Don't wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then you just feel like you're dragging around and life's out of control. Make a plan, put together a plan, put yourself on a schedule, and then decide to put your best energies into your highest priorities. This is how we stay focused. You first of all figure out what's really important so that you can sift out the stuff that's less important. And then you stay focused on what's most important. Much of time management these days is really just energy management. It's just like I will put certain things in my day. I know when I'm more creative and when I'm less creative in a day. I know when I'm better at certain things in a day than at other things. And for the important things in my life, I want to put them in that part of my day where I have the most energy. But you always put your best energies into your top priorities. So you want to put your best energies into your closest relationships. You don't want your husband, wife, family, to have all your leftover energy. You want them to have your best energy. You want to put your best resources into your top goals. You want to take what's really important and put the best resources you can find behind them. You want to put your best attitude into your deepest disappointments. I mean, you want to work through your disappointments. You don't want to be a victim of past disappointments. You want to put your best attitudes into your worst disappointments so that you can go at your future with fresh faith. Otherwise, we're just going to be bogged down and we're going to be distracted by what's happened in my past and what just sort of confuses me in the present. God wants us to understand what's most important, like Nehemiah did. I'm a part of a great work, he said, and then to stay focused on that, to say no to the right things. Sometimes what you say no to is as important as what you say yes to. To stay focused on the most important things and to be sure you're making a plan, putting yourself on a schedule, and putting your best energies into those things that are your highest priorities. Figure out what's important. Stay focused. And then listen to the advice of Jesus. In fact, listen as we take on distractions in our life to the warning of Jesus, to what distractions can do to us. And watch your heart. Watch your heart. We come to Luke 21. Where Jesus is about to do an altar call for every one of us this morning. And first of all, he says in verse 34 of Luke 21, these are the words of Jesus, be careful. Be careful in the face of every distraction, in the face of the tyranny of the urgent in our lives. Jesus says, be careful. Be careful and watch your hearts. Because your hearts can become weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, with the anxieties of life. And in the big picture, that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. What was that day that Jesus was talking about? He's talking about a day that's in all of our future. It's not biological warfare. It's not cyber warfare that could shut down whole nations. It's not a nuclear holocaust that could wipe out whole continents. It's the day that Jesus comes again and personally puts a period on human history. There's a day when Jesus will come again. Our Creator is going to return and He's going to hold all of us account. And we need to be ready for that day. That's why He sent Jesus 2,000 years ago so that we could be ready. Jesus died on a cross. God the Father loved the world so much that He gave His only Son to die on a cross for you and me. Why? So that our sin and the problem of evil could be dealt with in our lives, and that we could be have a personal relationship with Jesus. His Spirit could be living in our life. And on the day when He comes again, should that be later today or should that be years from now? We don't know. But whenever Jesus comes again, we're ready. We love Him. We're living in His presence. We're living out of the most important things that He has for us. We're ready. But Jesus said, be careful that your hearts will not become weighed down with carousing. That's the ultimate party word, carousing. Just wasting our time on entertainment and pleasure seeking and all of these distractions of the world that take our hearts away from God. I mean, some of us, our hearts used to burn in love for God. We used to have the Spirit of God alive in us. He was using us. We could hear His voice. But the passions of this world, the affections of this world have begun to weigh our hearts down. We don't live close to Him anymore. We don't walk with Him anymore like we used to. And Jesus said, the danger is, you're not going to be right with me when I come back again. And that day will come on you as a trap. Why? Because the carousings, the pleasure seeking of this world can weigh your heart down. He said drunkenness. Be careful of drunkenness. Intoxication, alcohol, and drug usage that intoxicates us. It not only opens us up spiritually to the demonic realm, but it puts us out of our minds. It hardens us. It deafens our ears to the voice of the Spirit. It pushes out the work of God's Spirit in our life. And then after pleasure seeking and drunkenness, he goes to the stuff that touches all of our lives, even us who are trying to keep our hearts right with God. Just the anxieties of life. We're just letting worry and anxiety and the bills we need to pay and keeping my kids entertained all day. All of these are tough things, but they, Jesus said, can be distractions to the most important thing. And that's His Spirit living in your life. That's you depending on Him, you calling on Him, you going after Him with all your heart, and His Spirit being alive in you. And I want to tell you, when your affections go to the world, when you waste all your resources being entertained and getting what you want in the world, and you know, well, maybe I make it to church once every 2 months, but it's not that important to me anymore, and my kids' soccer games are more important than them being in youth group, and it goes on and on and on until Jesus isn't important to us. And He said, a day's coming that may be a trap to you because you may not be ready, but we can be ready. He said, watch your heart, be careful that your hearts be not weighed down. And then in the next verse, verse 36 of Luke 21, He gives us His altar call. He says, be always on your watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man when He comes. I invite you to listen to Jesus' altar call, to make wherever you are right now an altar, and to say yes to Jesus, and to say no to all the distractions that are pulling you away from Him. Our Father, we ask You to forgive us. We repent, Lord, if our lives have become full of everything but the love of God. Lord, if we no longer have heart and passion for You, forgive us. My God, we pray You'll forgive us today. We hear Your word, be careful. Don't let your heart be weighed down by all these distracting things in the world. And we miss You. My God, we pray You'll forgive us if our hearts have gone that way. Forgive us if we've never come to You and trusted You for forgiveness. We say no to sin. We say no to our own way. We say no to the distractions of this world. And we say yes to what You did on the cross for us when You shed Your blood to forgive us. We say yes to Your resurrection Spirit coming and making us new from the inside out. We receive You, Lord Jesus, into our lives. And we thank You that You can make us new in this moment wherever we are right now. We thank You for Your Spirit. And for those of us who are trying to follow You and walk with You, Lord, we pray You'll help us to truly slow down in these days and these weeks and listen to You. I pray that You'll talk to us about what's most important in our lives. Lord, I pray You'll refocus us on our closest relationships and our biggest goals, and help us to process our deepest disappointments. And I pray, Lord, that you'll walk with us through this time. We love you, Lord. You're the God of heaven and earth, and we thank you for being with us today. Fill our hearts, we pray. Lead us into our futures with your Spirit, your counsel, and your word, and your faithfulness, we pray. And we thank you for that. Now, as we dismiss from this online service that has gathered us together from all over our city, all over our country, even all over the world, we pray that the blessing of the Lord will be upon you. May you go today with the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In his name, amen.